Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Cody and Gold here on 96.5 The Fan. I'm not Cody. I'm not Gold. I am Joshua Briscoe. Drew Nixon in his usual spot on the other side of the glass. We're not alone, not anymore at least, because Ryan Tracy is joining us on the phone. You can catch his work on the Locked On Chiefs podcast, RGR Football on YouTube, Rogue Analytics, and pretty much anything having to do with the sport played on a gridiron. Ryan, it's been a long time since we've gotten the chat, and I'm actually extremely glad we're getting to do it this week of all weeks. I'll explain why in a little bit, but how are you doing?
I'm keeping up. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you and everybody, and to Drew as well. So, nice to talk to you.
Merry everything to you and yours as well. And we were just talking last segment. The first question I've been waiting to ask you for ages, which is, if you could have any superpower, what would it be?
The elongation of time. That seems to be my biggest hurdle.
Man, I wish I should have written it down in an envelope and I should have said something along those lines. Man, that's a very, it's a very Seth Kaiser answer, but one that I believe wholeheartedly.
If it helps, it helps. That's really the bottom line, right?
The thing that I was opening up the show with today that's obviously been an ongoing conversation, it's going to be one throughout the rest of the week, is that there's a lot of people who very quickly, I think, went from being really, really excited about the Chiefs getting the first round bye and extra time off to people becoming nervous about the idea of rust after an especially long layover. It is a weird, like, half week after the Christmas game, then the week, then the bye. So it is a little bit odd, but I'm curious. Curious from your standpoint in particular, as someone who has been on all sides of the like physical and training side of all of this, that also is watching all the film and knows how the Chiefs specifically function and are built, where are you in the entire conversation of rest and rust and what this Chiefs team is getting over these next couple of weeks, however they take it?
As far as I'm concerned, this team, this quarterback in particular, Andy Reid and the coaching staff, they are stainless steel. There is no concern for rust whatsoever. Mm. The first 15 has been maybe not as effective as it has in past years in terms of game scripting, just because of everything that's had to be done to make adjustments. So really, if you're using the regular season as the platform, having what we've seen the last couple of weeks with Hollywood back, and I can't underestimate what an impact he's had on the entire offense, just getting that back and him again being fully ready to go and the rest of the team on offense fully ready to go, I think that actually raises the bar that any rust that you might see a spot of is no concern whatsoever. Whereas the rest that is happening currently for the stars and will happen through the next couple of weeks for the entire roster, that's gold that you can't mine. You can't find it. It's somewhere hidden on an asteroid somewhere. It's so rare.
Yep.
To have that kind of run to rest now, you got to have it.
I am completely with you, but I haven't come up with anything nearly as clever all day today. It's been 3 hours. I haven't had anything as clever as they are stainless steel. But I'm with you on that. Like, and I just saw a little clip of Luke Kuechly talking about this on Kay Adams' show, where he mentioned like there was a time early in his career where they did have a first round bye in the first quarter of the game. It took him a little bit of time to get up to speed. And Andy Reid mentioned in his presser today that, you know, the speed of the playoffs is kind of the thing you want to make sure you're ready for. But playing a meaningless Week 18 game against the Broncos isn't playoff speed, and like everybody who's playing a real role other than Xavier Worthy, who's doing very well in his own right, everybody else has done this before on some level. They've seen playoff speed, and most of them have had some time off. Last year they had to engineer their own for everybody except for Chris Jones, and they looked rejuvenated after that break.
They certainly did. And yet also have to remember, as you look at all the playoff scenarios, and yes, there's a couple of things that can still tweak here this last week, depending on the outcome of this game, as well as Cincinnati and Steelers, Ravens, and what they get done. The bottom line is this: when you look at all the scenarios, that first round bye is so rare and so good that no matter who it is, unless the Buffalo Bills get upset, which I just can't fathom at this point, the Chiefs will play someone in their first playoff game that they have already beaten.
Yep.
So that further diminishes the concern about rust for me, because you've been there, done that, and beaten all of these teams. So I really have no concerns whatsoever.
What do you make of that last spot? Obviously, again, it would require for the seven seed to be all that consequential. They would have to pull off that first round upset that we're not really expecting. But there's also been a little bit of an odd discourse happening as the Bengals have gotten closer to a spot of like, oh, the Chiefs don't want to see Cincinnati. Does anybody in this playoff field outside of the Buffalo and Baltimore kind of 1-2, does anybody else scare you or excite you for any potential matchups?
Nothing scares me. They will all be formidable. Obviously, every Chiefs game this season has been closer than it needed to be. Yeah. So there's always, you have to have respect for everyone, but nobody that scares you, nobody that you don't have an answer for yet, other than Buffalo and maybe Baltimore. And I say maybe because I do think Steve Spagnuolo has the answer for this particular team. And it shouldn't come down to a Legarius Sneed save at the end this time around. And most importantly, those two teams are going to have to beat each other in the most likely scenarios.
We're talking to Ryan Tracy. You want to follow him and make sure you're also locked into everything that he's doing before draft season comes around, because they'll also get you a step ahead there. So a long-term investment, Ryan Tracy at Ryan Tracy NFL on social, and then Locked On Chiefs RGR Football on YouTube. What did you see from specifically those last two games against a couple of fellow playoff teams? What was the most important development to you from the Chiefs' wins over the Texans and Steelers? And if that varied from one game to another, I guess your top two takeaways as they look ahead to the playoffs.
You know, really, I think they still have to be both on offense, because I think as much as the defense has gone to depth more this season than they've had to in years past, the staff in particular has been able to train up guys to make those replacements. Obviously, Jalen Watson in the news that he's rotting again and he could soon be back. Well, he's going to be rusty. He is somebody who isn't stainless yet. He's going to have to be recoated. But the rest of it, certainly the emergence of CRW makes me feel like as long as they continue to stay healthy and get Chris back, that defense is going to be fine. Both of them are on offense. And it is a man that actually outperformed even my expectations for him. Joe Tooney's job the last few weeks has been epic, to the point that if this wasn't a Super Bowl run, this would be the story of the season, of being able to corral that left tackle spot. Now, that doesn't mean that he needs to stay there.
Yeah.
He is still a better guard than he is a tackle. And if DJ Humphries is ready to go, I think that helps. But getting them through this process where they know they have a couple of options and that they can continue to not be in that position they were against the Tampa Bay Bucks, that they swore they'd never be in again, where their tackles can't protect and Patrick's running for his life. It looks like they have an answer one way or the other. That's been a huge development. The other one is that for Patrick in particular, it looks like he's able to run the offense that he wanted to back in March and in OTAs and certainly in camp. And again, it is a force multiplying effect that Hollywood Brown brings. It's not that he's taking the top off of everything and he just can't be guarded or anything like that. It is that he, as part of a three-pronged approach with Xavier Worthy and with Travis Kelce, is now something the teams cannot take the philosophy of, we're going to take Trav away and everything else we'll take our chances with, because now they know that they have not only the speed of Worthy, but another veteran that they have to take in account over the top while they have DeAndre Hopkins underneath. And it's just too much at this point. There isn't defense in this playoff run that is equipped to handle all four of those targets every week.
It's also just so fun and refreshing that those two things are happening at the same time, because if this team was still going through the like occasional instant loss off left tackle, then I don't know if we're getting as many moments of that, of the offense feeling in rhythm and on time like it has in these last couple of weeks. But you mentioned what I think is kind of the big question that I think Chiefs fans are the most split on in terms of any issues right now, which is left tackle going forward. You've done the absolute right, like first step, I think, which is you must give Joe Tooney credit for three tough matchups and three varying levels of pretty good performances to even beyond that. But he is a better guard than tackle. He's a much better guard than Caliendo. And the Chiefs brought in DJ Humphreys before they gave Tooney that job. Like, you know, he was taking it back because Humphreys wasn't able to go. And they said, all right, we'll stabilize here. I think Joe Tooney has proven that the Chiefs can win a Super Bowl with him at left tackle. But I'm also getting the feeling that they would like to see Humphreys and Tooney together if that is an option they have. I also don't know if they can put Humphreys there to essentially re-debut in the playoffs. Do you want to see DJ Humphreys against the Broncos this Sunday? And then how are you navigating what does feel like maybe a little bit of a fragile situation at left tackle?
I do not want to see DJ Humphreys against the Broncos. Ooh. I don't see any need for it. Okay. A loss here doesn't hurt you in any way,
right?
And only runs the risk. And as much as we can say, hey, you know, especially offensive linemen, they don't get hurt that often, whatever. Anybody can get rolled up any play.
Yep.
There are zero plays in the NFL that are risk-free. So there's no reason in my mind to put him out there at all. In fact, I would rest Joe as well. In fact, mm-hmm. the only starter that I would play on the offensive line against the Broncos is Creed Humphrey.
Yep.
And I don't know that I'd leave him out there very long.
No, I wouldn't.
So, honestly, I think this is an extreme opportunity. And this is one of those things that doesn't get talked about enough. When you are a quality team, especially when there were multiple buys in a conference back in the day, right? Mm. Those teams have such the advantage on what they're doing next season as well, because they get a spotlight shown on their backups to the point that they can evaluate better. Mm. They can have a better plan for the draft. They have a better way to reinforce themselves for the next run because they get real action in these games where the starters are not involved. And I think this particular group, especially in the offensive line, that's liquid gold, because I think Norzad, Hansen, we've seen plenty of Caliendo, but those two in particular I want to see. Kingsley Suamafia might be able to get some of his confidence back, although this pass rush still has good speed. I think the total evolution there might be more of a plus than any minus that would come from a loss in this particular game.
I'm with you on that, and I'm actually kind of excited about it. It feels like a bowl game a little bit now of like, ooh, we're like, it's like an end-of-season preseason game. That's going to be totally fun enough to tune in for the nerds looking at the future. I think I'm excited for that, genuinely. But does that mean that you would be comfortable with Humphreys starting in the divisional round after not getting any more work between now and then?
Yes, absolutely. I have nothing to fear there. For him to be able to step in as he did into a ball game, I don't think there was any mental issue there. I don't think there was any technique issue. That was clearly, it was a little bit ahead of where he needed to be schedule-wise. He was a little bit rushed to get onto the field because of the situation. And soft tissues, you want to give them as much time as possible to heal. Mm. But when he is 100% and you feel that that is good to go, I don't have any problem with the mental or the technique or the coordination with Joe Tooney's side. I think he's ready to go.
That makes me feel good. I don't think I was expecting that answer from you, because it does feel like he's one of those guys that, you know, he's played now three quarters of football in basically a year tomorrow. But I still think that the ceiling there is worth chasing. What happens if Humphreys has a rough first half in the divisional round, or what if the hamstring gets tweaked again? Do you just go straight back? Is Tooney Caliendo the next right back into the break glass option for the O-line?
It is, unless we see something earth-shattering from Kingsley Suamantio or Ethan Driscoll this weekend.
Oh, man, that'd be so funny.
It would be hard to do. One more thing to tie him off. He's still playing hurt, right?
Yes,
but
yes.
Should that happen? Should it have magically clicked over the Christmas holiday for Kingsley Suamantio? Yeah. Then maybe you have more options.
Okay. Man, a Christmas miracle resulting in him starting or him stepping up behind DJ Humphreys would be just absolutely electric. Just as it is talking to Ryan Tracy, Locked On Chiefs, RGR Football, Ryan Tracy NFL on Twitter. What concerns you right now? This is a 15-1 football team with extra time to get ready for the divisional round. We've talked about a lot of pieces throughout the process of this season. What's most unsettled in your mind as you look ahead?
That, quite frankly, the defensive front is worn out.
Mm.
I think we've seen in the last few weeks noticeable fatigue on the field by multiple players. Nick Bolton, certainly Derek Nnadi. Obviously, you've had Mike Pinnell leave the game and come back into it.
Yeah.
Turk Wharton's had some great moments, But I do think that early bye has played more fatigue on the defensive front than the offensive front.
Yeah.
And I think that's something to keep an eye on. I don't think Chris Jones is going to be a problem, especially since they were cautious and they will continue to be until the playoff round. But if you were to sustain another injury, if you made the mistake of playing George Karlaftis against the Broncos, which I expect him to sit, and that's the only answer that I would accept.
Yes.
If you do something, you get someone injured, especially at the D tackle spot, that would be a concern for me. I want to see Tui Polotu play the vast majority of the defensive snaps against the Broncos. That's one of my goals, to keep everyone else healthy and to give him some more experience and get a better look at him. I don't think George should play. I would like to see Felix Anadike Uzomah and Josh Uche start, play as much of the game as they possibly can, and just get into a rhythm, because an injury there is sustainable without degrading your top end of your defense. And I do think, despite everything we've talked about on the offensive side, winning a championship will be in large part due to the defense continuing to output the way that it has.
Josh Uche, well, it sounds familiar, Ryan. I can't put my finger on that name. This is so inconsequential to where we are right now, but what do you think is happening there with the Cam Thomas preseason acquisition that doesn't work? He played more snaps against the Chiefs than for them this year. Joshua Uche is a trade deadline addition. They did something similar with Neil Farrell last year. This is, again, kind of a little bit of a wild goose chase, maybe. But what's happening? Is there a disconnect between what Veach values and what Spags values? Is it these guys getting into the system and not being ready for it? What's your theory on these misses?
I do think it is a situational thing about fitting into the role that you're assigned to. One of the saddest parts of this season myself is the Cam Thomas situation, because I loved him for Spags' defense coming out, and the opportunity to acquire him and see it not work out, it hurts my soul a little bit, but that's okay. Good for him. He'll move on. I think, honestly, the bigger question is Uche, because you brought in a guy that doesn't fit your system.
Yeah.
He's more of a 3-4 outside linebacker. He's a speed guy, which I think this defense has needed for quite a while to have that speed rush option. But now, you know, he's going to be starring in the next Indiana Jones movie as the golden idol that he's searching for, because no one knows where he's at. So I'm just confused, and I really hope that he can pop his head out here and make an impact.
I hope he has 3 sacks. I hope he has such a big day against Denver. I hope he terrorizes Bo Nix and forces his way into the rotation, and it's not going to happen. And it might not matter if he did. It's just so bizarre, so frustrating. And, like, these assets matter a little bit. They matter in draft season. We care about 5th and 6th and 7th round picks, but just a truly, truly bizarre, truly frustrating.
Yeah, it's a little bit out there, but it's a plethora of riches. If you can't get on the field in this team, that's not necessarily a career ender.
No, that is fair, and I look forward to him having 7 sacks somewhere else next season. This is a big picture kind of narrative thing. I usually want you to just explain what's happening on the field to me, because you do a very good job of that. But as the end of year award conversation has started to swirl around, Andy Reid's name is like tertiary in the coach of the year discussion. And like Kevin O'Connell has done incredible work with Sam Darnold, so the case for him is very easily made. It's almost mandatory for a coach to overachieve to get a nod for an award like this. But where do you stand in, I don't know if this is just an excuse to talk about Andy Reid's coaching job over the course of this season, or the fact that if they could win the Super Bowl this year and he could three-peat and have 4 Super Bowls as a guy who has not won Coach of the Year in more than 20 years, because he last won in 2002. I'm a little bit frustrated by it. I understand how we arrive here, but I'm curious what you make of that entire sort of way of viewing NFL history, where Andy Reid's gone 2 decades plus without ever being called the best head coach in football by the voters.
You know, it is pretty miraculous to get to that point, but I think it is solely based on Chiefs fatigue, which I think is a thing outside of the metro area, right? Yeah. It is because, and O'Connell certainly has, it is an argument. To me, they would be the 2 choices, and O'Connell's done more with less. And I think that's what the argument comes back to. Yes, there's been way more injuries, way more hurdles, way more adaptations that Andy has had to do across his roster, specifically across the offense, than O'Connell has. But O'Connell's had to manufacture a way to tweak his offense to fit Sam Darnold, to make Sam something that he hasn't been anywhere else. And that is a feat that is sometimes more elusive than getting a team that has had success in the past to raise their level of play just, you know, a 1% more in order to overcome these injuries. And I think that's why it is. If you didn't have Patrick Mahomes, I think Andy Reid would probably be in the lead here. Mm-hmm. But we wouldn't be talking about a third possible championship either.
Right. That's what it's going to take, is that Andy Reid can either coach Patrick Mahomes the Super Bowls, or he can go do something else and try to get a Coach of the Year award. I'm guessing he's happy with his hardware. Ryan, I appreciate you making the time for us today. Tell everybody again the places that they can get some of your work, what you're working on, that people need to know about.
We have all kinds of things in the works. The newest one is where we cover the league as a whole, a lot of draft coverage and front office building. Some of the things that will come up in free agency, that's over at NFL33.com. And then RGR Football is the other outlet, daily on Locked On Chiefs. And you can find it all at Ryan Tracy NFL on Twitter, Blue Sky, X, whatever it's called these days.
You can find him across the internet. He's probably making content about the Kansas City Chiefs at any given moment, or the league as a whole. Ryan, I appreciate it. Let's catch up again soon.
Thanks for having me, buddy. Good to talk to you.
Ryan Tracy, again, Ryan Tracy NFL across social media and the Locked On Chiefs podcast, NFL 33, RGR Football on YouTube. Just, he does really good work making you smarter about football as a whole. It's easier said than done. Ryan does a very good job of doing that. I'm Joshua Briscoe. I've been with you here for 3.5 hours opposite Drew Nixon on the side of the glass. No Cody, no Gold, just the two of us. Another half hour of the show coming up next here on 96.5 The Fan.
What's trending?
Here's what's trending, presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. First thing trending for me, happy birthday to the face of a franchise, the Kansas City Chiefs QB1, the man who will get it done this weekend. Happy birthday, Carson Wentz.
Happy birthday. QB1?
QB1.
I'm the number one fan of Carson Wentz this weekend.
He's going to get it done for you. I'm curious about the line on that game. I need to double check. Number two
on what's trending. Missouri, the 19th ranked Missouri Tigers are in the Music City Bowl. That game actually about to kick off now on ESPN. They're facing the Iowa Hawkeyes. Luther Burden is there in Nashville, not playing, but he's there in spirit. Brady Cook looking to end things off his tenure at Missouri with a big win. Missouri, I think, is going to get it done, but that game could be ugly because there's a lot of opt-outs, a lot of guys in the portal. And they're playing the Iowa Hawkeyes, so that game's always going to be nasty. It might be like last year's Ohio State game where nobody played in it, but Missouri still won the game like 14-3. Maybe the exact same situation here in this one.
It'll be ugly, but you know what? It'll be great in that game. Actually, I haven't seen what Mizzou's wearing, but it should be an excellent uniform matchup. White, and gold versus black, white, and gold. All in the color palette, all like in it. The family. Here's what's trending. Rex Ryan. Yeah. That Rex Ryan said he is expecting to interview with the New York Jets for their head coaching vacancy. Meanwhile, yesterday, Tyrod Taylor came in and instantly went on a 13-play, 75-yard touchdown drive to break the 40-0 shutout that Aaron Rodgers had been captaining before that. Holy bleep.
So maybe the Jets should start Tyrod in the final game against the Dolphins then.
They should, you know what they should do? They should bring back Mark Sanchez.
Whatever. No. Whatever helps the Jets win that football game. Lastly on what's trending, there's six former Florida State basketball players who are suing Leonard Hamilton over failed NIL payments that he promised. Jim Larrañaga recently resigned, stepped down, referencing NIL. It's affecting some of these OG coaches who aren't used to this sort of stuff, but also as a coach, if you're going to promise money, goes back to the UNLV thing. You can't promise money that you don't have just to get a guy there because the athletes now have more, they're more empowered to speak on what they feel and they're going to get the money if you promise them the money and you don't have it. So you can't step over yourself. I don't know what I was trying to say there. You can't step over yourself.
You stepped over yourself there in a good way. Okay. I agree with you 100%. This is, a lot of people have complained about NIL and it's all of these things. Hey man, you and I would simply not do. I wouldn't lie to your recruits about how much money you're going to pay them.
You have to be honest about them because otherwise you get yourself in trouble. Hence this reason. It's not like Leonard Hamilton's retiring, but he now is being sued over $1.6 million. Also, a part of lastly on what's trending. On Twitter, I saw on January 1st, starting on Wednesday, all children born between 2025 and 2039 will be part of the demographic group Generation Beta. I don't know if I'd want to be a part of a generation called Beta.
I don't think I would either, man. That's a tough poll. It also doesn't make a lot of sense with what Beta... I mean, there's a lot of ways that Beta now means different things. But, like, Beta was, like, an early version, you know? So, are we getting Gen stable release after that? Video game joke! What a segue! I don't think I'd want to be Gen... I think they got to start going by Gen B as soon as they can.
Gen B. By the way, this Missouri combination for uniform sucks.
Oh, no, really?
Black top, black pants, white helmet.
Yay!
Go with the gold helmet or just go all black.
Oh, no. That's so disappointing. Yeah.
I was wearing the traditional gold pants, white jersey, black helmet, which they never go away from. But Missouri could have done better than this.
I guess that's probably why. Yeah, Mizzou goes gold helmet here, and I think you can kind of save it. All right.
Yeah, come still, on, Mizzou.
Still a good overall matchup, but I think I generally am anti-monochrome when given the opportunity, except... when the Chiefs go all white with the red socks like they did on Christmas.
All white is nice.
All white is pretty nice. The all white with the red socks, it really balances out the red helmet. This is an incredibly strong opinion that I have.
Just go all white with the white socks and the white helmet.
I'm conflicted.
Or is that a hard no?
It's not a hard no. There are a lot of Chiefs alternates that are hard no's for me. I'm conflicted. I'll tell you what.
I like the
Bengals all white.
Oh, yeah, the Bengals all white's icy, man. That's real nice.
Those were cool because you're like a white tiger thing, all of that. I don't know. I don't hate the all white with the white helmet. I don't think the Chiefs don't need a black or a gray or probably, you know what? I'd be willing to see the Chiefs get some yellow pants if they wanted to try that. Maybe switch that up. But we've talked about a lot of jock stuff here today. We've talked a lot about the things for the big sports fans in the audience. And it's almost the end of 2024, and I need to tell someone about my favorite video games of the year.
Okay.
We established earlier, Drew plays games but did not recognize most of the ones that I had written out for the show today. I'm going to pitch them in like 30 seconds or less here, and hopefully this will latch on for you, for listeners right now. If you love one of these, you can text in. I'll take it. But... these are the games I think you need to know about. These are my favorite games that I played this year. There are a lot of games I didn't play. They make a lot of video games now, but here are ones that I've played. The first one that everybody ought to play, be aware of, and just get on your phone right now is called Balatro. B-A-L-A-T-R-O. Balatro is a poker-based roguelike deck builder. It's basically a poker-based puzzle game in a lot of ways. It is free on Apple Arcade Plus if you have that, which I do because I like playing games. I think it's like $10 in app stores. It might be the best mobile game of all time. It was originally out on PC. It's also out on console. I played it on Switch originally. It is a perfect mobile game experience. It really, it is mechanically perfect. It'll scratch the corners of your brain. It's fun to figure out what's going on here. And then it gets more unhinged as it goes. Big fan of Balatro. Full endorsement across the board. If any of it strikes you, whatever. You have follow-ups. I'm here to answer
for you. That one's a sorry, but I haven't heard of that one. It sounds okay. It sounds interesting.
Indie game of the year for most of the game awards and everything. Okay. So well-deserved. Kind of pixel art based. I love it. Another indie game that would have been the game of the year and a lot of it would have been the indie game of the year, at least if Balatro didn't exist. It's called Animal Well. One of the most visually interesting games I've ever played. Pixel art, kind of neon-y, but it's mostly in kind of the wild. It's a platformer. So if you played the Metroid games or the classic Marios, pixel art, flat 2D platformer. But it explains very little to you about the world and how you're supposed to do things. So you explore your way through. It is as good as any game I've ever played at revealing little secrets to you as the game goes on. Mm. Really satisfying experience. Great on Steam Deck. And it's also across all consoles. I've seen multiple texts from people with diabetes shouting out the fact that they have diabetes on the text line. I love that. Thank you, Texter. Animal Well, very good if you like platformers. Okay. Different type of platformer. Did you see or play Mario Odyssey, a big Switch game from the last games, couple of years? So Mario Odyssey, I think, was one that Cody said that he had played through with the kids, and it's very, very good. PlayStation, Sony's response to that's called Astrobot. It is
I've heard of Astrobot.
Astrobot yes. won Game of the Year at the Game Awards. It is a slick 3D platformer, so you're jumping around thing to thing, killing some enemies. Okay. Very kid friendly. It is a very enjoyable to me video game. The controller on the PS5 works brilliantly with it. Love Astrobot. I've played a lot of College Football 25.
Yeah, I've heard of that one.
We've heard of this. It's very good.
I'm still playing it to this day.
I was playing it yesterday when the Red Zone games were letting me down. I have custom dynasties, one dedicated to one of our dogs, one dedicated to possums. I feel like the team builder is an underrated aspect of that. College Football 25, simply very good.
I haven't done team builder yet, but I'm just...
It's fun.
I'm a dynasty junkie, so yes. I've got an online one with some of my friends. We're in season 2. It's a slower moving one.
Yes, but that's fun though. I haven't done a friend group one yet. I love the dynasty. Multiple time champion with the Kansas City Scouts. Named after the hockey team, and my dog named Scout. My dog with my wife. She's not just my dog. And then Kansas City Possums, the new dynasty. Still working our way up there. I'm having a hard time in the AAC right now.
Are you playing on a Heisman difficulty?
I'm on Heisman now. Yeah, my first couple of dynasty championships came at lower levels, but I won a Heisman dynasty title with those Kansas City Scouts, and that's when I decided it was time to start a new
Love
chapter
it.
Because just a simple dominant dynasty we have there. The RPG recommendation that I've got maybe 20 hours or so in. It's called Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth. These used to be the Yakuza games. You are exploring this big world where I don't want to spoil. It is the most narratively interesting game I've played this year. It has the most fun protagonist I've maybe ever played as, just in terms of how his character is presented. He's a former Yakuza member who starts off by helping other former Yakuza members get jobs. Things go awry. Okay. You fight a lot of bad guys. Not a shooter, but a turn-based RPG. Great story through Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth. And then we were talking about Stardew Valley a little bit earlier. This game has been out for more than a decade, but it is a game that I showed Renee around COVID, and she has played an obscene number of hours of that game ever since. It's a great game. But then there's a game called Fields of Mystria that's sort of a little bit of a spin-off of some of those ideas. Played a lot of Fields of Mystria this year. If you're a Stardew Valley fan, that's the way to go. And then Pokemon TCG Pocket on mobile. Mm. Pretty good. I'm seeing here from the text line, oh, you'd probably like Monster Sanctuary. Thank you, text line. I have heard of this, and I have not played it. I'm Googling it now. Thank you. Just started playing Animal Well. Surprisingly difficult at times, but absolutely gorgeous. Yes, it really is. And I do not necessarily... I don't get a lot of joy out of playing terribly difficult video games. That's not really my speed most of the time. It's one of the reasons Astrobot is really nice. You butt your head up against something 3 or 4 times. It's not going to be more than that. I'm not a Dark Souls guy. I didn't do Elden Ring. I don't know if I have I don't know if I have the wherewithal for those.
Yeah, those are more like higher complex.
Yes.
Games. I like that. So some that I don't play anymore, but I used to play a lot were the Assassin's Creed games. Those are more, they turn into more like open world stuff along with, like, they have the storylines, but there's more of an open world aspect to some of them, at least the more recent ones. I haven't played one since, boy, it's been a little while now since I played a Assassin's Creed one. Those are the ones that are good. I mean, college football, FIFA is my jam. We were talking to Dusty before the show.
I gotta play some FIFA, man.
It's not even called FIFA anymore. It's called EAFC.
Oh, you're right.
It is banging, though. It's very good. It is, in terms of sports games, the FIFA franchise is consistently been the best, I think, because 2K at one time had a run, but it's bland now. Same sort of game. A lot of people complain about it. Madden, we know where that's at. FIFA's been the most consistent, I think, solid game where there's new things that are in there, little intricacies that make the game a lot of fun. Somebody says Assassin's Creed 2 is one of the best games I've ever played. Agreed. It's one of the best. That whole franchise was great.
I just grabbed the Spider-Man, the Spider-Man PlayStation game from a few years ago. It was on sale. Haven't checked. I bought my PS5 for college football to put me back into the crosshairs.
Nice. Yeah.
That was finally the thing that pushed me over the edge. I had a lot of Switch action, a lot of Steam Deck. Baldur's Gate 3 is coming through the text line a lot. That came out last year, right? But I played it some and bounced off. I need to play that with friends or I need to just start a new campaign. I played like 12 hours and then I got into a bad spot and I don't think I'm going to dig my way back out. Texter said, I grew a pimple listening to you geek out over video games, but I love it. Thank you. That's very good. Two texts about the new Indiana Jones game being fantastic. That's exciting. I have not played that. Ghost of Tsushima. I saw a couple other good ones that I have not gotten to fully dip into. And then also this text from another diabetic previously. It says, type 1 diabetics would demolish cake merchant type 2 diabetics in a war. And I think that's hilarious. I don't want to start a war with type 2 diabetics. There are more of them. Also, we'd have a numbers disadvantage. And I think they may beat us anyway. Because I think, the way I understand it, they're a little less insulin dependent. But, I'm here to welcome all of the diabetics to the show.
Somebody said they were ranked in the top 100 in the region in FIFA from 17 to 20 in Ultimate Team. It was a life suck and it burned me out. Happily retired. Ditto to you because I couldn't. You and I talked about this. Like online, yeah. Online's great until it's not, and I don't get addicted to the online stuff. I've fallen into it, but I'm not like so far into it where. That's all that I play. I love the offline stuff. I love the dynasty. Like, along with my friends, I've also got other dynasties that I have that are mm-hmm. offline. My FIFA manager career, obviously, is offline. Like, I do a lot of the offline stuff because I can only take so much rage before I'm like, you know what? Why am I doing this? You know, you start to question those things. That's what Dusty was telling us. I'm sure this person feels in the same boat. Why am I actually doing this? I'm spending way too much time on something that's cool. It's like a flex, but also it doesn't do anything for me in all likelihood.
It's
enjoy the game and then be done, you know, play yes. for a couple hours and then be out.
I am certainly not preaching this because I would be a hypocrite because I also played hundreds of hours of Animal Crossing when the most recent Animal Crossing game came out in 2020. Now there are other things going on in 2020 that gave us all a little more time to walk around and do fake chores for our animal friends, but that's what I was doing. Once a game becomes obligatory in some way, or I got to get in and get my reps, or I got to keep my stats up or whatever. That is to me usually a pretty good sign. Mobile games are the worst about that too. It's like, well, I got to log in and get my bonus. Bellatro doesn't do that. You can take a break and come back. Bellatro will be there for you no matter what.
There's somebody else saying they just started Spider-Man 2 on PS5. I don't know if that's the one you have, but they said it's insane.
The next.
And they said they're also loving EA World Rally Championship, World Rally Car stuff. You like racing sims. That's my lane. I want a PC so bad, Josh, because I want to get iRacing. I've done the sim before. I have a blast. I actually won a racing wheel from doing a sim when NASCAR was here.
That rules.
In the fall.
You're the chosen one.
I love racing stuff. I feel like there's not too many good sims outside of like the racing stuff. Somebody said, how about GTA 6? That comes out next year, doesn't it?
Theoretically, it's supposed to. It won most anticipated game, so we'll see.
Yeah, the GTA franchise is definitely one of those.
I have always enjoyed racing games. Is iRacing like the standard for you, or is there what's the play on introductory racing games? And what are you playing iRacing on? Since you're not on PC,
so I don't have iRacing. I want it. Like there's a place in there's a spot in KC that you can go to, and you can do sim stuff. They've also had like set up for like when the NASCAR Cup Series was here in the weekend for the playoffs. They had some setup and stuff, but. I've dipped my toe into it. I want more of it because I love racing. I love the sim aspect. I want to feel like I'm driving the car. If you want to just get into racing games in general, I feel like obviously Gran Turismo is a good one. Mm-hmm. Need for Speed used to be a really good one. Like those are the ones where you get into it a little bit. If you like specific series, you know, they've got the F1 series, which is great. It's the best racing series that's out right now. NASCAR used to have games. They're coming out with one next year as well. But, racing is my lane where if I just have nothing, if I'm not bored, but if I'm playing a game or it's like I want to play a video game,
yes.
I gravitate towards racing games more than anything else. Or I just go like old school. I pop on the GameCube and play SSX Tricky or NBA Street Volume 2.
My guy!
Or like Monkey Ball or whatever. You remember some of those old school games, you know, Dig Dug. They had Dig Dug in there too. Dig Dug was my jam when I was a little kid.
I was about to add on. That my, like, I haven't dipped in a little bit. It might be time. College football coming out changed my math on this a little bit. But this, the best thing that I did with my Steam Deck, which is like a handheld PC, basically lets you play PC games in handheld mode. It's great. The thing that I used my Steam Deck the most for a long time, was to play NFL Street 2 on the GameCube on the Steam Deck.
Yeah.
That's probably the game in my life I have put the most total hours in. I remember I bought two copies of that on GameCube. I bought a GameCube controller that's like Bluetooth that I can connect to the Steam Deck if I want now. It's great in handheld mode. I've been chasing the high of NFL Street 2 while simultaneously campaigning for EA Sports to please give us one before Travis Kelce retires. Three was not good. We got NFL Street 4 needs to save us. This will heal a nation. It may heal the world. Put Travis Kelce on the cover. Sell it to Swifties if you want. I really don't care. Give me NFL Street 4, please.
So what we need to do is, theoretically, bring back NFL Street, yes. NBA Street.
Yes.
NFL Blitz.
Yes.
NFL Blitz used to be my jam because after the play was in, you go punch somebody in the face and jump on them. Or you know, if a guy was on fire, you're carrying guys on your back to the end zone. Oh.
Bring back. Give me a new SSX Tricky, too, by the way. I'm good with all of it.
Yeah, give me a. So they redid like the Tony Hawk Pro Skater stuff.
Oh, yeah.
They whatever it's called.
Remastered.
Yeah. They remastered it. I want a new one, too, because those games are great.
Oh man, this is just reminding me because I was so late to getting the PS5, I started Death Stranding this year. I didn't play enough to include it in games I wanted to talk about, but there is such an incredible buffet of games to hop into for all different types of gamers or wannabe gamers or whatever. Also, a PSA, if you subscribe to Netflix has a ton of really good full games that you can play on mobile. Hades was like a Game of the Year candidate a couple of years ago. Fabulous game. You can play it for free on your phone if you have a Netflix subscription. You just like log in and then search for Netflix games. It's unbelievable.
Hey, this is also a reminder going through this. Old games are the best video games.
But there's some really good ones that have come. Bellagio just came out.
I know there are some good ones, but there's nothing like the old one.
No, it scratches an itch.
Nothing like the old one. Yeah,
nostalgia is a hell of a drug, and it's good when you can get it in video game doses. The text line remarkably supportive of our video game talk. Thank you, Drew, for guiding the way. I'm Joshua Briscoe in for Cody and Gold. We'll talk to you next time. Carrington's up next. Till then, bye, Mom.